You know, today we join with other churches and other Christians all around the world in declaring that Jesus Christ has risen. And the good news about Easter, the great news about Easter is that God doesn't just make bad people good or good people better, but he makes dead things come alive. So good. You know, as I was thinking about Easter, I was thinking about new things. And we love new things, don't we? We love new cars, new houses, new phones, new clothes, new anything. We have this desire, this kind of innate desire to have new in our life. I remember back to just after lockdown, we bought our Mitsubishi Outlander. And it wasn't new, but it was new for us. And I remember that feeling at that time, that kind of newness, and we'd hop in and kids, no, don't touch that, or, you know, keep it clean. We took great pride in it. And there's nothing wrong with it now. It's still a great car, but we drive around and we're like, oh, look at that car over there. Look at that Toyota Highlander. That's a nice one. And we have the same tendency with phones, and I think the retailers know that. They're always trying to upgrade you, get the latest iPhone or get the latest whatever it may be. We like new. But the downside of this is that we often throw away things that are possibly not obsolete. But God doesn't. In Revelation 21:5, he says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God says, I am making all things new. He doesn't say, I am making all new things. I am making all things new. And Easter reminds us of this. Resurrection Sunday reminds us of that, that our God, who was once dead, is now alive, and he's at work in our life. He is acting on our behalf, and he is making all things new. He doesn't say that we're obsolete. He doesn't say, oh, you're stuffed up, we're done with you. He doesn't say he needs to start again. He created this world perfect. He created us perfect. We stuffed up, but he's not wanting and he's not needing to start again. He is wanting to use what we are. He's wanting to use what we have. He's wanting to bring us back into alignment with him and to make us new again, to wash us clean. And we're not too far gone for him. Nothing that we could have done, nothing that we could possibly do will make us obsolete in God's eyes. He doesn't give up on stuff that seems dead. He doesn't abandon creation. God doesn't abandon you, and he doesn't consider you obsolete. Behold, I am making all things new. Why don't we stand and praise together?
This morning, look, I think Ruth and I are just bringing something a little bit different today, and we're going to share communion after I speak as well. But I just want us to just close your eyes for a minute, and I'm going to take you on a little journey. So, Bob, shut your eyes, please. imagine now, just for a brief moment, imagine that I've just transported you back in time about 2,000 years ago in 3 days. You and your family were preparing to take part in a tradition that was handed down to you and your family for many, 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 many years. And this tradition is the Feast of Passover. So you're sitting there, you're preparing the meals, you're preparing the fires. It's great. So this Passover, which was an annual event, which marked the exodus of your people out of Egypt. You can open your eyes if you want now. You're there, right? We're here. We're here. We're 2,000 plus years ago in Jerusalem. And what it was an event that we marked for your people to come out of Egypt. More importantly, to acknowledge the liberty that God granted to your ancestors to live in freedom and freedom with their God in a place that was promised to them or to you and your family. As an ancient Jewish custom, particularly held during the time of the temple, so we're talking about the temple, the physical temple, the building in Jerusalem, the practice of sacrificing lambs held a significant religious and cultural importance to the people of that time. This ritual, known as the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, was one of the most significant festivals in ancient Judaism. The tradition of sacrificing lambs traces all the way back, if we go look at history, to the Exodus from Egypt, as it was described in the book of Exodus. And according to the writers back then, God commanded the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb without blemish. That is, a lamb that was perfect in every single way. And what they did was that they smeared its blood over the doorposts of their houses as a sign so that the angel of death would pass over them during the 10th plague inflicted upon Egypt. And this event marked the liberation of the Israelites from slavery and their journey to the promised land. So over time, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb actually became really central to the ritual in the observance of Passover. It commemorated both the deliverance from Egypt, but also the covenant between God and his people, the Jewish people then. The lamb symbolized purity and atonement, forgiveness of their sin, serving as a substitute for the people's sins as well. No longer did they need a human sacrifice. The process of bringing lambs to the temple 2,000 years ago was very carefully regulated and followed exceptionally specific religious protocols. Like, we don't necessarily here in New Zealand understand sometimes these protocols that are followed, but if you go to other parts of the world where religious protocols are followed, it is to the T. You don't miss out anything. And that was the case back then. It had to be perfect, right? You couldn't just bring any old lamb to the temple. It had to be perfect, without blemish. Not a single spot, not a single, what do they call, a dag or anything like that. Families would select a lamb without blemish, symbolizing its purity and its worthiness of sacrifice in accordance with the requirements that were outlined in the law. The lambs were typically raised and they were cared for with very careful attention by these families to ensure that they met the criteria set forth for Jewish law. And if you didn't have a lamb, well, then you could go and buy one because there were some available for sale too, because not all families could do that. On the day of Passover, families would bring their selected lambs to the Jewish temple. The priests, who were responsible for conducting those ritual services, would oversee the slaughter of the lamb in a very prescribed manner. And we still see this today in some religious cultures as well. There's a prescribed manner for killing animals or for doing things. Everything needed to be perfect. The blood of the lamb would be then collected and it would be sprinkled on the altar as an offering to God, symbolizing purification and atonement for the sins of the people, for you and also for your family, for the next 66 days, however many, for the next year, right? So the sacrifice of Passover served multiple symbolic purposes within Jewish theology and practice. It represented obedience to God's commandments, gratitude for deliverance, and hope for redemption. Additionally, it also underscored the concept of atonement, highlighting the need for humans to be repentive and to repent, and for forgiveness and to ask for forgiveness as an essential aspect of a relationship between mankind and their God. Nice little history lesson. But this practice, however, ceased about 40 years after Jesus' death. It ceased at the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD. Quite ironic, actually. And the practice of sacrificing lambs was no longer a central place, because there was no longer a central place for those rituals to happen, basically. Funny that, really, if you think about it. 40 years or so after Christ's death, right, the temple, which was the physical building, and was designed to and built to hold the presence of God and to carry God, was completely destroyed by the Romans. There's only obviously the Western Wall left and a few other little remnants for those that have been to Jerusalem. This same building, Jesus said he's going to destroy within 3 days, but not necessarily in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, because he said, I'm going to destroy the temple which we were holding on to because we got it wrong. The temple was us. And it always has been us, right? The significance of the temple, that the physical building not being significant any longer, and it needed to be taken away so that we would realize that the temple was humans, was us, ourselves, that we carry God and we carry his presence where we go. That no longer, but mankind are the ones that carry it. We are the temple, and it is the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Jesus himself, that has and continues to wash us clean all the time. See, being washed clean by the blood of the Lamb represents the process of sanctification, of being cleaned, whereby we as believers are progressively being transformed into the likeness of Christ through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So we are continually being transformed, and I don't think we'll ever get to perfection because that's not what was intended, but we have got to continue transforming our hearts and our minds and renewing it in Jesus. When the priests sacrificed the lamb, the blood signified a cleansing of the temple, but also of the people. However, this cleansing was very short-lived and only lasted 1 year. Jesus, as the ultimate lamb offering, cleanses us as a temple and the carrier of the Holy Spirit each and every single day of our lives, if we allow him to. We are no longer bound by the law, but he who is the law has come in fulfillment to set us free. He was the law. The atonement for repentance and forgiveness is still an essential aspect of the relationship between mankind and God. That never changed, but it was the perception of it. This activity that we need to do regularly and not just wait for an annual festival in order to right ourselves to the Father. Whilst the physical slaughter and sacrifice of a lamb each year does not occur, the ultimate sacrifice, that being Jesus, still represents the same theology and obedience to God and to God's commands, to love our neighbor and to love God, which were the ultimate commands. Jesus died for the deliverance of our sin so that we can be unified to God and live in the hope for redemption, that is salvation found only through Jesus Christ. See, on the night of Passover, Jesus did something quite extraordinary. Whilst the past sacrifice of the lamb highlighted the need for repentance and forgiveness, Jesus shared a meal, which we call communion, with his disciples. This Last Supper, or this communion meal, which we call highlighted, sorry, I've lost my word now. this last communion, it highlights the same significance as that Passover meal as well. That being repentance and forgiveness. You see, thus restoring that relationship between man and God, because we're asking for repentance and we're asking for forgiveness. When we eat the bread, we remember what Christ has done for us, repenting of our sins. And then when we drink the wine, or the grape juice here, we're not Anglicans, but grape juice, it represents the blood of Jesus, which washes away our sin, okay? And we ask for God's forgiveness, so that we can take part in the process to restore our relationship to him. He's done his part. Our part is now to meet him in the middle. Whilst we don't need to bring a lamb to the altar every year, we take communion regularly in remembrance of what he has done for us. So today, we are washed clean by the blood of the lamb through faith in Jesus Christ and acceptance of his sacrificial death. We are metaphorically cleansed from sin and guilt, and our relationship with God is renewed and it is restored. We no longer need to live in a world of guilt and of shame or of turmoil, because Jesus actually came to remove all of this. He took it away. By entering into a relationship with him, we allow him to take our burdens and our sin, and we give ourselves over to him, to his cleansing power of love, for the purpose of restoration and of the renewing of ourselves to God. I love that song, Who You Say I Am. Yeah, I'm an old school. My wife gives me lots of grief of being old school. You say who I am. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. For I am a child of God. Oh, yes, I am. You see, because that means that I am his and he is mine, right? Just like my daughter says, you're my daddy and I'm your daughter. He's my God and I'm his son. I am his because of what Jesus has done for me. He became the ultimate sacrifice, unblemished, unmarked, and perfect in every way. to wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. And today, you know, this gift is yours. Today and every day. And what I love is that the gift is free. It's nothing we need to do. Just accept. It's free. We just have to accept it. And all we have to do is choose it. Sounds simple, right? It actually is. There's nothing hard about it. And the beauty of the Gospels, which is what I love, the good news, is that it's just what it is and what it says it is. Good news. The news of Jesus, the news that we are washed clean by accepting him as our Lord and as our Savior and as our future. So as we enter into Easter and, you know, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, whether this is our first time choosing Jesus, our 100th time, our 1,000th time, doesn't actually really matter. Can I encourage you to open your hearts and your minds to his still small voice as we take communion and accept the good news of what he has done for us? So this morning, I'm going to invite us to participate and share a meal together, just as they did back then, and we're going to do it this morning, which is symbolic of what Jesus did and continues to do for us. And as we eat of the bread, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And as you drink the juice, allow his sacrifice, unblemished, perfect in every single way, to cleanse your sin and to restore you back to the Father. Amen. Amen.
Cool. Okay, let's put this down for a second. Now, Nige is going to read us a story, a parable from the Bible. And it has lambs in it. It has sheep in it. It's very on theme. Okay. So, Nige, there you go.
If I read it, can you do some actions to it?
Action.
Yeah, you know, like, so if certain words are specifying, you can do an action. And...
Okay.
Action. Yeah, okay. There once was a man. What's that? Oh, okay. Okay. This man owned 100 sheep. These sheep used to graze on the hillside. That's a teapot. Oh, okay. While the man kept watch, one day the man was counting his sheep when he discovered that there were only 99. Sheep. The man was shocked and stunned and very surprised. He began to count the sheep again, yet still he only saw, no, saw with his eyes, not sawing wood, 99 sheep. One sheep was definitely missing. So, now what are you doing?
Is it so? I'm sorry.
No, so. Not so, so. So, so. The man left the 99 sheep grazing. On the hillside. And he went to see. No, see. See. If he could find the lost sheep. The man looked high and low for the sheep, when suddenly he heard a faint noise, and to his surprise he saw the lost sheep The man was very happy. And he picked up the sheep and put it on his shoulders. He carried his sheep home. The man was so happy, he threw a big party.
Hooray!
He invited all his friends and neighbors. The man cared for his sheep so much that even if only one sheep went missing, he would go and look for it and bring it back. And that's just how God cares for you and me. Thank you, dear Father. Now, do you think we should do that again, but get everybody standing up and copying the actions?
A little bit faster.
And I'll do it a bit faster. Okay. Yeah, right. Everybody up. Yeah. And I'm going to read it a bit faster. Are we all ready? There once was a man. This man owned 100 sheep. These sheep used to graze on the hillside while the man kept watch. One day the man was counting his sheep when he discovered there were only 99 sheep. The man was shocked and stunned and very surprised. He began to count the sheep again, yet he only saw 99 sheep. One sheep was definitely missing. So the man left the 99 sheep grazing on the hillside. And he went to see if he could find the lost sheep. The man looked high and low for the sheep when suddenly he heard a faint noise. And to his surprise, he saw his lost sheep. The man was very happy. And he picked up the sheep and put it on his shoulders. He carried his sheep home. The man was so happy, he threw a big party, and he invited all his friends and neighbors. The man cared for his sheep so much that even if only one sheep went missing, he would go and look for it and bring it back. And that's just how God cares for you and me. Well done, everybody.
Okay, Roger, can we put the slide up? All right. So Isaiah 53, verse 6, says, "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I've got some glass pebbles in the four stations around the room. Parents, can you be aware that they are a choking hazard? So please supervise your children. Okay. Each of these glass pebbles is unique and beautiful on the inside, just like each one of us. We can be made beautiful on the inside by Jesus. But I've painted them brown. The brown paint on them symbolizes how unconfessed sin spoils our lives. I did actually paint them on Saturday and Friday, so some of that paint is pretty well stuck on. So as Ruth says, sometimes working through sin is hard and it might not come off straight away. Having said that, the theological thing is Jesus does wash us clean straight away, but this paint is a little bit sticky. Sin sticks to us. Okay, so you might need to scrub a little bit. So I'd like you to choose a glass pebble to rescue, just like Jesus rescues us. Please wash it clean in the water, and I say it might need a bit of scrubbing. And as you wash it, use that as a prayer to ask God to forgive you and to thank him for making you clean so his beauty can be seen in you. Please use the paper towels to dry your hands and the pebbles, and you can keep the pebble to remind you that you have been chosen by God, who forgives your sins and washes them away. Thank you. So if you want to make your way to a station, thank you.